All right. Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Enjoy this morning? Did you guys all enjoy the lightning and thunder the other day? Wake you up. It woke me up. And I got to see pretty closely, I felt like, some of just the raw power that God possesses, it feels like, and how even just that pales in comparison to his power. Well, I'm glad that you are here this morning. I just wanted to let you know that coming up this Wednesday, we have our baptisms and barbecue event. So encourage you to come out. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to start our time off with worship, and then we'll have some time of just food. We'll have bouncy houses and different things set up out there. So we'll have some time of food and fun, and then we'll have a time where we just celebrate with people as they choose to get baptized and give their life to Jesus. So it'll be great. So if you have been thinking about getting baptized and you have not done so yet, this is a great opportunity. I encourage you just to sign up at the Connection Center after service today and get ready to do that on Wednesday. All right. Well, this morning I wanted to just speak to you today kind of briefly about God's church is a generational church. And we're going to get into a little bit more about what that means here in just a moment. But let's just pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your presence that is here. Jesus, we thank you for your love. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us here and now. We thank you for your presence. And Holy Spirit, we ask right now that not only would you bring us your strength, but you would bring us right now the ability to hear from you, to receive from you, so that we can be changed by you this morning, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. So the church that God is building is a generational church because God is a God of the generations, not one generation, but of the generations because he loves all generations. In Mark chapter 10, we see his heart towards the next generation as we see with Jesus here, it says, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, saying, laying his hands on them. Bless them, laying his hands on them. Jesus placed great importance on the generations and on the next generation. And those that people saw as maybe less significant or maybe just a generation or a people group that he shouldn't waste his time on, he should spend his time on those who had the mental capacity to actually hear and understand maybe theologically what he was teaching. Jesus is like, no, I care just as much about this younger generation as I do about you. And he's like, do not neglect this next generation coming up. And Jesus placed great importance on all the generations. And all generations need to be involved in the current age for the church that God is building to continue. In Psalms 78, 78 verses 1 through 7, it says this. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. He's not saying that I'm telling you to teach witchcraft or anything like that. No, but there's like parables and stories that you know from of old that you need to continue to pass down. says, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Here he's speaking not just even to the people who are alive then, but to the ones who are not even born yet, and to the ones to those who are not even born yet will sow into. So he's giving vision right now for beyond their life, beyond his time on earth. It's like we need to do this not just for what we are doing here and now today in this age and the time that we have on this earth, but what we are doing needs to be passed on and to continue to go way beyond the time that we leave this earth. This is David saying this as God leads him to say this. And, you know, God gives the children of Israel this instruction in Deuteronomy as he's like, he says, you need to pass this on. And we've talked about this verse a lot, but he says, you need to teach this to your children just in the daily life that you do. You need to pass this on. What I have taught you and what I have told you, you need to make sure that it doesn't end with you. Because if you just keep it to yourself and you do not pass it on and you do not sow into the next generation, it will die. And we actually see, as you walk through the history of the children of Israel, that this actually takes place. That they neglected to do what God had told them to do, to not just know themselves, but to pass on that knowledge and to pass on that understanding and that teaching, to pass it on. And so when they neglected to do that, then the children of Israel, the people of Israel, fell away from God and they started serving the other gods of the other nations. And because of that, the favor of God, the blessing of God, and the protection of God was removed from Israel. And they fell and they were in a place where now they were vulnerable and they were attacked and they were led into captivity by many other nations. And so God is like, if you are going to be who I've called you to be, it is required that you value each and every generation and you pass on my teachings to each and every generation, young and youth and middle-aged and old. Everybody needs to be involved passing it on and sowing in. I'm so thankful that people did that with me when I was growing up. And there's many people that I can point to, my parents especially, how they taught and trained me and nurtured me and cared for me and loved me and did different things in my life. But there's many other people outside of them. I remember there was a family that we used to go visit just about every 4th of July. We would go up and we would spend a couple of days with them as we went, and we usually did the 4th of July festivities up in Forks. How many have ever gone to the Forks old-fashioned 4th of July? It's a lot of fun. If you've never done it, it's a lot of fun. They have a demolition derby. If you've never experienced a demolition derby, you need to go. It's a lot of fun. But I remember as we would go up there and we would spend time with this family, this couple that we would spend time with, they were just such a loving and caring couple. And he had a heart for the next generation. This couple had a heart for the next generation. And I remember just even the couple of days a year that we would go and we would spend with them, I just remember those days fondly, how he would just, you know, show us different things, teach me different things. He would make homemade ice cream and put his homegrown raspberries in it. And I just like, oh, man, this is awesome. And he'd show me how he makes it and even bring me into the process. And it seemed like every year he had something else that he was showing me. And I was a very active young boy And I know I had the attention span of a gnat, but he was a man of great patience as he just tried to continue to pull me in and teach me things. And one time, I remember he actually grabbed me. He's like, "Hey, you want me to teach you how to row a boat?" And I was like, "Sure, that would be awesome." So we sat in a boat in his backyard on the grass. He's like, "Now this is how you do it. You move," and I actually have a picture of it. If you could throw that up, as good of a picture as I can. It was a little blurry, but you could see that little redheaded snippet. And his man, this guy's name is Dave. And I just think very fondly when I remember my times in his backyard and as he's teaching me how to row a boat. And just to think about how much he cared about, like, just somebody he didn't really know well or get to see that often. The time that I did get to spend at his house, he made sure to take time to teach me. And I know he was a very patient man because, again, I was a very active boy. And I was one that they would say would literally be bouncing off the walls. And come to find out later that they had bought a Roomba. And they had named it after me because it literally would ping off the walls. It's like, oh, there goes Jimmy Jack. Boop, boop, boop. But I'm so glad for people like this, and just not even in my young age, but all throughout my life, people who sowed into my life, who taught me throughout my life, each and every stage of my life. I still have people who are teaching me and sowing into my life. And it's so needed that through each and every stage, that we have people that share with us and teach us what God has done in them and what has been passed down to them. This morning, I just want you to know that our God, He is building a generational church, a church of the generations, to pass it on to the next generation and the generation after them and the generation after them. This morning, I want you to actually hear from some of those who are sowing into the generations, who are sowing into the next generation here at Harbor City Church. So this morning, I want you to hear it from their mouth, what God has put on them, the commission and the heart that God has given them to sow into the next generation. So you're going to hear from them this morning. So first of all, I just want to call up our City Kids Director, Mindy, and I want you just to hear from her as she shares her heart about what God has placed on in her to sow into the next generation.
Amen. Thank you for having me. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mindy. I go by a lot of different names, and I was actually praying on, okay, God, who am I, the other day, and I feel like He gave me a lot of names. So to some, you know me as just Mindy. Some people call me Pastor Mindy. A lot of the kids call me Teacher Mindy. I actually am very proud of this one. I have a chicken named Mindy after me from a city kid. Most recently at City Kids Camp, I was given a stuffed sloth, and that stuffed sloth is also named Mindy. So I have a lot of different titles, per se. However, I have always been one to not always really like a title. And in fact, a small story, before I came to work here at the church, I was in full-time school ministry at a district up north, and I was there for 10 years. And it was an amazing job, but it was a tough one because you can't preach Jesus in school. And I had my own office, and it was a beautiful office, and I didn't have to share it with anybody, and I had my own desk and my own computer, and it was a really great worldly job. And they wanted to give me a title on the outdoor of my door that said manager and my last name, and I freaked out. I didn't want that title, because who as a child wants to go into the manager's office? You know what I mean? So I refused that title because God gave me a different title. He gave me daughter, He gave me Child of God. He did give me Teacher Mindy. He did give me Pastor Mindy. And I am just a vessel, and I'm willing and able to do whatever he wants me to do in that amount of time or in that general time, whether it be having a chicken named after me or a stuffed animal or just being a teacher. So anyways, that is who I am. God loves me and he loves you. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity and for these generations that we're sowing into. God, go before us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about them, which is the kids. I want to talk to you a little bit about you, and then also about the me. And you're like, oh my gosh, why the me or why me? It's not about me, but it's about the me. Pastor Jimmy asked me to come and speak to you about why I feel like I have been called to do such a thing. And it's because of them, it's because of you, and it's because of the me. And I'll start by them. For many years, I was a foster mom and working in the school districts and then working here. And there's a lot of thems. And a lot of thems are broken. Some of them are not broken. Some of them are full with joy. But some of them are broken. And the thems, for the goodness and the safety of them, I'm going to make up their names so you don't know who they are, but these stories are real. Billy, 10 years old, told me this week he's at City Kids Camp because he was adopted by an amazing family in Aberdeen, Washington, because his biological mother overdosed on fentanyl. He's a them. Josephine, she's another them. She's at City Kids Camp. I do it for her. She told me that she felt like she had no friends. And for the first time in a very long time on the teal team, she made a friend. I do it for them. In City Kids, countless kids are in foster care, have been abused in every situation. Fred's, Bobby's, Billy's, Frank's, Georgina's. I do it for them. In City Kids, there are a lot of kids filled with joy that come to you with faith like a child, that have no trauma. Thank you, Jesus, for no trauma, but I do it for them. Another one of them that I love are my own children. I can say them by name: Diane, Mary, Kiriana, Grady, London, and Noah. Just the ones that have been legally adopted or biologically given to me, but many other that have come into my home, whether foster children or just kids that have been homeless that I have having the blessed opportunity to come into my home. I do it for them. And I want you guys to also come alongside me and help me because I can't do it alone. The you, where do you guys come in? That's where you come in. You walk alongside of me because if I do it alone, I get burnt out, right? And then I get overwhelmed and then I cry and then I think, oh my goodness, I can't do it, or this is just too much. And so I need the yous, I need the Karinas, I need the Rays, I need the Lois Moores, I need the Izzy Chavez's, I need the other people in this church community and within our walls and outside of our walls to help me with the thems, because the thems are overwhelming sometimes because the world has consumed thems, right? But there's so much joy to be had. Oh my goodness, you guys. I want to tell you more about thems, right? Okay. Christina, she comes to me at camp and she goes, Teacher Mindy, I just blew my nose and I had the biggest booger. I do it for her. She was so proud of her booger, and that's okay. That's joy, you guys, right? I do it. Pastor Jimmy said, who all saw the thunder and lightning? I was praying to Jesus. I was rebuking that thunder and lightning. I said, go away, because we had to cancel the dunk tank. We had to cancel the outdoor bouncy houses because I didn't want the dunk tank person to get electrocuted. 169 kids we had at camp, you guys. 169. That's the them that we're reaching, but there's so many more thems out there that we need to reach. And we all have a job to get to them, right? So we managed, camp was successful, 169 kids. We had 169 kids for the majority on day two inside, and everybody survived. Thank you. That's where the you comes in. So where I need you to help me, because I can't do it alone. We need a team, because he will provide all of us the stamina, the confidence, the teachings, the love. He'll give us all the joy that we have to give them. Okay, and so what is the me? You're like, it's not about me, Mindy. What are you talking about? How can you put me in this whole little speech? The me. I was praying to Jesus. I'm like, okay, God, who am I? And he said, you're you. I'm me. I am me. So I do it for me, but not myself. And let me explain that. He came after me in that field. I was that lost sheep. He left the 99 and he came after me, M-E, me. And he didn't leave me or forsake me. He never forgot about me when I was that little kid in trauma, that little kid going through a divorced family, that little kid watching her mom get beat. Nothing like that. My dad, thank you, Jesus, has dedicated his heart to his life, hit Lord to his heart, and he is living in freedom, and he's amazing, don't get me wrong. But childhood was a little bit crazy, and I had a lot of trauma. But God found me in a field. I was lost. I was the lost sheep. He left the 99 and came back for me, and so I do it for me because he loved me so much, and he didn't forget me. So I made a promise to him, to the great I am, that I would never turn away from him because he found me so that I could preach the word to them. So I just want to encourage you guys that children's ministry is so important. We, on average, have 130 kids down that hallway every single Sunday, birth to age fifth grade. And it is full of love and joy. Right now, we're looking for 30 additional volunteers to be a you to help them so that I can have support as a team so that we can build the next generation. And I was worried that, oh my goodness, if I can't do it, what happens if something happens to me? And DJ came to me, and it was confirmation this morning. If a ministry is sowed into properly, you're not meant to see the end of the fruit because it's supposed to continue on for generations. And so my vision for the future is that I'm able to raise up them or one of you to take my spot when I get old so that we can continue sowing into the next generation. So thank you, Jesus, for this moment. Thank you for the thems and for all of you and for finding the me in that field. I just pray, God, over City Kids as a whole, over this community, over Grace Harbor and over our country and over the world. We just give all of the children, these beautiful babies, to you. And we just ask, God, that wherever they are, you find them. Show them the way, the truth, and the light. I want to end with our memory verse on day three. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. Our theme was camping. We had lights out. We directed our path with flashlights. And that's the worldly way. But this is the biblical way. His word will never leave you. It will always be a light. If you have it turned on, his word turned on, your feet will never get lost on that path. And that path will always be hope, freedom, faith, prosperity, and everything else in between. And he will find you in that long grass in that field and come after the me. So thank you. And they're going to play a short recap video of camp.
Well, Since you're all here, welcome. I guess I should introduce myself.
Suppose that means it's my turn. What's up, y'all? That was for my young people here. They know the drill. They just never respond. Just like Mindy, I got lots of names, but more commonly with the teenagers, I'm known as... Well, good morning. I'm here to share a little bit about what we're doing with your teenagers. And why I do, and my wife does what we do, and why it's important to us. And I have the pleasure of being able to serve in both of our ministries here, both in City Kids back there, as well as leading the youth, which provides me with a little bit of a unique perspective, if you will, that's helped me shape what we're doing here with your teenagers. In City Kids, I get to teach the kids the what in the Bible. A lot of times they're hearing some of these stories for the very first time. They're learning about what it says. But when you get the teenagers is when it's time to start teaching them the why and the how. See, I didn't grow up in church. I come from a broken family. Half my family has beef with the Lord. The other half is Mormons. So I didn't have a lot of the foundational things being built for me as I was young and growing up and learning about the world and all of the things in it that some people had. But it's because of that life that I had to go through and live as a kid that I have a unique perspective on the situation on the ground with the teenagers here in this community. There are some generational chains of bondage that have been holding the young people in this county for generations. And it is my heart that my wife and I would model for them a radical way of believing and holding on to Jesus that will cause those things to fall. Tori and I prayed a long, long time about what it was that God wanted us to bring to the table, what he saw in us that posited him to reach out to us and say, I need you to do something. I don't make a habit out of telling the Lord no, mostly because it never goes well for anybody, specifically me. But one thing he put on our hearts was authenticity. See, the day and age that the teenagers of this county are growing up in now is full of opinions, full of every single person who has access to a screen, a keyboard, a cell phone, to tell you all about the reasons that you're wrong, your beliefs are wrong, they're fake, silly, all of these things. They are constantly being bombarded with things telling them that this is the way that you should be, this is the way that you should go, these are the things that you should put stock and importance in. And most of the time, those aren't good things, unfortunately. And so we want to show an authentic heart posture before the Lord that really inspires these kids to see, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you that I'm not super concerned with what people think about me. It doesn't mean that I'm not here to be the best version of me that I can be, but I'm not going to let the world crush my spirit before the Lord and my desire to seek hard after him. And this is what we are hoping for and trying desperately to inspire in the young people. Because the reality of the situation is they're walking into a war. Teaching them the why and the how is about preparing them for the battle that they're going to fight ahead. Training them to wield the sword of the Spirit. Teaching them how to properly strap on the breastplate of righteousness. These are things that they need to do before they go into battle. I don't have slides for you today, but the very first verse and one of the most important ones that we put in our vision statement here for Harbor City Youth is Proverbs 22:6. And I'm going to pull that open real quick and read to you guys. Get out my real Bible here. Yeah. And it says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Pastor Jimmy already talked about this a little bit. I like to think of ministering to the generations as a circle. And what I mean by that is if you read the Old Testament, just like he was saying, it is full of times where God came down in a real and powerful and mighty way and changed the lives of a giant mass of people. And within the span of a single generation, they forgot. They were not telling their children and their teenagers about the wonders and miracles that God had done in their life. And because of that, it brought forth a generation that not only didn't know that those things were possible, but they didn't believe that they would happen. See, we want the teenagers in Grays Harbor County and beyond to believe and proclaim that miracles are for today. That the miracles that we read about in the Old Testament are for them to claim today, that they can go out into the world and pray for people to be healed and they will be healed. That they can go out and pray for people to be saved and they will be saved. That they can pray for chains in their own life to be removed, that the Lord would take those from them and they will see them loosened and gone. That he will cast those things as far as the east is from the west. We're trying to inspire this next generation of leaders and teachers and preachers, because you might not be able to see it with Pastor Jimmy, but this beard's already turning white, y'all. Yeah. And I am the first person to tell you that I am just a guy. Just a guy who loves the Lord with everything that I have. We want to disciple them into the next generation of servant leaders by training them in youth church and then connecting them to y'all so that you can have young, energetic, because I know it'll be tired in here sometimes, faithful servants in this house. We want to teach them to pray, to be confident prayer warriors. My wife said this, and it's probably one of the smartest things that I've heard in a while. I get all the smart things from her, in case you're wondering. She said, prayer is not a last resort. It's a reflex. We want these kids to immediately be inclined to pray when they're faced with something. Not something that they realize a week, 6 weeks, a month, a year down the road, that, man, I should really be praying about that. That is their knee-jerk reaction, is to just seek the Lord in prayer in all things. We want to meet them in the midst of their mistakes with love, grace, and appropriate correction. We want to help them foster genuine relationships within the church so they always know that they are loved. And just like Mindy said, that's where you guys come into play. You guys are the extra hands and feet when I'm not. There's only one of me. A pastor up north that I was talking to one time said, I cannot minister to 90 teenagers, which is how many he has in his youth ministry. And he goes, but I count on my leaders and my fellow believers in the church to pour into them, to disciple them, and to check in on them. And pray with them. It's really amazing to pray for people. I will tell you, it's a whole nother special thing when you walk up to a teenager who's going through it and be like, can I pray with you? Not just I'm praying for you, I want to pray with you. I want to bring you alongside of me and show you how I encounter the feet of the cross, how I meet with Jesus and make requests. We want to take them places to get them connected with other titans of the faith that are their own age, where they can worship and encounter the Lord with their peers and see that this isn't just something that we're doing here at Harbor City Church or here in Aberdeen and Hoquiam, but that this is for the whole of the world. We're trying to build real and radically faithful leaders, cultivating students into real and radically faithful adults. And my hope and dream is that sometime in the near future, you will see an army of teenagers here in this church leading the charge from the front, here at the altar on Sundays, worshiping the Lord, falling to their knees, giving Him the glory. And it starts with us modeling that example for Him. And not just the us of me and my wonderful wife, Tori, and our leadership team, but each and every one of you guys here. You guys are the example of the body, even more so than I can ever hope to be. I prepare stuff to say, and I consult the Lord on those things, but when they look around, they see all of you guys, especially because I'm really short, so it's hard to see me up front when they're standing in the back. But on another note, they see you guys. They see how you posture yourself before the Lord. And with all of the stuff that's going on in the world that's just fake, all the AI and the deep fakes and the this, that, and the other, they are desperate for something that's real. And it's up to us to show it to them. Because God is real. Jesus was a real person who really came to the earth, who really went to the cross and 3 days later died again. And they are desperate for the things in life that are real and genuine, and it's up to us to show it to them. And that's why we do what we do. Lord, we say thank you for the faithful body here. We say thank you for the teenagers that have already been burdened with glorious purpose to come here. I pray that as we move into this next season, Lord, that you would inspire all of us here in the house to be the very best examples that we can be for the next generation of leaders, God, so that when the next generation is ready to take the reins, that they will not be remiss, that they will not be lacking in understanding of the miracles of the Lord, that they will know what he's brought us through so that they can proclaim that for their own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can stand as we close this morning. Psalms 148, 12 through 13 says this. Young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. That scripture right there is a model of the church that God is building. Young men and maidens, old men and children. It's important that we sow into the children so that they can grow up knowing God. And it's important that when those children grow into teenagers, that people continue to speak into their life. And it's important that when those teenagers grow into young adults, that somebody continues to encourage them. And it's important that when those young adults become middle-aged, that somebody continues to encourage them and that they pass that encouragement down to the generations beyond them. And it's so important that the old generation passes down to the generations after them what has been sown into them for so many years. I am here because somebody, many somebodies, sowed into me when I was young. Because many somebodies sowed into me when I was a knuckleheaded teenager. Because many somebodies sowed into me when I was a young adult. Because many somebodies are still sowing into my life now that I am a middle-aged man. But we here at Harbor City Church are very intentional to help each generation, young, old, and in between, to know God and help them grow in the knowledge of him, because each generation is essential to the kingdom of God and the building of it. Amen? Amen. That all starts with first being part of that generational church that God is building. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know him, and you want to become part of his church that he is building, and become part of his kingdom, I want to give you that opportunity. So if you hear and you have not done that, and you want to, can I just please right now have you raise your hand and say, I need Jesus. Is there anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that? Just raise your hand so I can see it. I don't see any hands this morning. So I'm just going to close with this morning. And then I'll just have some prayer team come on up as I close. If you need prayer afterwards, you can come up and get prayer. But Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your love for the lost, whether they be young, middle-aged, or old. We thank you that you care about the generations. You care about, Lord God, each and every person. And Lord, we ask that you would give us your heart for people, that you would give us your heart for the children. You would give us your heart for the youth, for the young adults, for the middle-aged, and for the old. Lord, that you would give us your heart to build your church that you are building, and that you would help us to do our part that you've called us to do, to sow into the next generation that can sow into the next generation that can sow into the next generation and for generations to come. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.